reaching out to the lost, sharing the gospel. And in sharing the gospel, we need to make sure that we know how to share our faith, to get the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ out there. And we've been talking about and preparing for what to say. And I have a prayer. It's that people in the church will this year, in some way or another, be a witness and a testimony for Jesus Christ. Sometimes being a witness and a testimony for Jesus Christ is like being an Andrew. Andrew was a man who brought his brother to Christ on one occasion. He brought a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes to Christ on another occasion. He brought some Greeks who were interested in knowing more about Jesus to Jesus. There are some people that invite. There are some people in the good things that they do are a testimony for a life that is changed. There are some people who go out and directly evangelize. And I'm hoping that God will give you an opportunity to do that this year. Maybe it's inviting someone to a gospel concert. And maybe it is you getting a chance to invite someone to church or to a prayer meeting or to a church dinner. Maybe it's you sitting down and explaining what God has done in your life with someone you know. Maybe it is you being a faithful testimony and sharing just a little Bible verse here or there or what God has meant to you. But what if we get the, like last couple weeks, we've been talking about when you get a person to a place in their Christian life, in their life, where they are interested in accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, can we share our faith with them? And maybe we know Bible verses that we could share with them. We know John 3:16. We know Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. Romans 5:8, and we can share the gospel with them. But then what? Then what? What about after that? What about that thing called discipleship? Bringing them into the church, discipling them, training them to be a Christian. For myself, I love discipleship. I love purposefully reaching out and involving people into your Christian life, praying with them, encouraging them to read the Bible, being an example and teaching them and encouraging them to live out their faith. I love that. I enjoy that. But it's been something that I have done. But I think, and this is something that the Lord has been impressing on my heart more and more and more, there are problems. And as we face problems, we as Christians need a plan of action. We need to immediately do something in people's lives to help them. And I think about it. If someone comes into our life and they say, "I'm a drug addict." We say, "Okay, good. You're a drug addict." And then we sit on that news. Or, "Good, let's do something different." And we just kind of sit on that. Or, "Great, I'm glad you're going to make a change. Now go and make a change." That's a hard place for a person to climb out of. I put together a plan this year because I was bothered as being a deacon in the church, as I know many of us deacons are, when someone comes in and they come off the street and they say, "We need financial help." And us deacons, sometimes when someone has done that, we've looked at each other and said, Okay. How are we going to help them? What should we do? We don't want to just hand someone money so that they can go buy drugs or, you know. And so we got together, we put our heads together, and we came up with a plan of how to help and where to go and real ways and a real plan to help someone and to help them move in the right direction. And I think it's time that, I know this is something in my life, I want certain plans. If someone comes off the street and they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior because they're in a moment of crisis, they're an alcoholic and they're pouring their life out to Christ, I know that everything that they find they need, they can find at the cross. But I think we have a job, a responsibility as Christians to share the gospel, to help people come to a saving realization of Jesus Christ, and then to teach them and instruct them in righteousness and to disciple them. That's a big, important responsibility. And I think it's one that we all need to at least have resources and be willing to help someone in their time of need. Because I don't know about you, but I really don't like being in a situation where something hits you and you say, I want to help, but what do I say? How do I go about doing this? What can I do? And I think that that's something very, very, very important. So the next few things that I'm going to talk about is, okay, someone has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. What do we do? And as I finished up, you know, the person has decided, I want to accept Christ as my personal Savior. I believe in Jesus. And they pray a sinner's prayer. And I got to this point, and tonight, this is something that I wrote down in my notes at this point. We picture someone who has just accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There's something that I had written. I often wrote things down in my Bible. I probably heard this during a chapel or a Bible class, and I wrote this down. I'm sure it was probably quoted from somebody, but I don't know where it came from, and it was just something that I had written down in my Bible many, many years ago. Belief is the vehicle through which faith is delivered, and trust qualifies the kind of faith, or the kind of belief that is exercised. Belief is the vehicle through which faith is delivered, and trust qualifies the kind of faith being exercised. Someone has truly given their life and their faith and trust over to Jesus Christ. So what happens? First question I'd like to ask is, what happens on the inside? On the inside of a person when they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then what happens on the outside? A few people said to me this morning after service, they said, were you reading the notes of Sunday school class? Because the ladies' Sunday school class was using a lot of the stuff that you were saying on Sunday morning. And the adult Sunday school class downstairs was talking a lot of stuff that you've been talking about a lot on Sunday morning. Well, this morning, our Sunday school class, in the men's class, we were talking about by your fruits, you will know them. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, something happens in your life. Jesus begins to transform it. And it's Christians who come alongside of each other and help train and develop new Christians. And that's an important, important thing. One of the things that I am desperately working on, and I would like your help with me in this area, is when I was up at camp, and I'm sure this happens to Brad too, there are so many things going on in the day of a life up at summer camp, and there are so many things, you go around like a chicken with your head cut off half the time. All right, Brad, does that feel like that quite a bit of the time? And there were so many times like where in my life when I was doing camp and school and things that's just how I felt. So I would bounce from one thing to another. And becoming a pastor, one of the things that I am working on hard is to stop and pay attention and take time and help people as we are all of this, myself included, in a big way, in the process of transforming ourselves, being sanctified into the image of God's Son through reading the Word, praying, being in church, and the fellowship of the saints and the encouragement of the saints. And so it's important that we stop and we take time and we notice this process. And we look and we develop people into being good fruit, not bad fruit. We are called as Christians to be fruit inspectors. By your fruit, you shall know them. So what does fruit look like? Because when we accept Christ, some things happen on the inside, some things happen on the outside. One of the things that happens is repentance. Let's look in our Bibles to Luke chapter 13. And verse 3. In Luke chapter 13, I'd just like to read all of the first five verses. It says, "There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.'" So one of the things that happens to the believer on the inside is they have come to believe Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, is that repentance occurs. When we picture that, I picture a sinner coming into a meeting and they hear, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." I wonder if some people that hear, "God wants you to repent, repent, repent," if they even know what that means. Repentance is to stop an immoral or sinful act, and to make a change in one's life towards righteousness. To stop, turn around, and go the other direction. That's what the sinner needs. Is that going to be difficult for someone who has been addicted to a sin? Someone who has been caught in the depravity that the sinful nature has hanging on to them? Absolutely. But when Christ comes into their life, there is something different. They have something that can save them from the power that sin holds over them. And repentance is something that is evident on the inside of a new believer's life. Another thing that happens on the inside is sanctification. Sanctification. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." As a person accepts Jesus Christ as a Savior, say, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." What happens on the inside is that not only that they repent, that they stop doing the sins that have kept them You know, this is a process. And they start wanting and desiring to do what is right. Another thing that happens to the believer is sanctification. God changing their life and setting them apart for His special purpose. I think about the fact that an unbeliever, the things that he does are all filthy rags. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But when we become a Christian and our name is sealed in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we're on our way to heaven, the things that we do begin to matter. And our works that are done for Christ in faith, they become gold, silver, precious stones that will last forever. And this process of sanctification, as we are being set apart for a special purpose by God, God is changing us, conforming us to the image of His Son. Let me ask you this. Is Christ changing you? I hope so. I think we need to, once in a while, examine our lives, and we need to say, here I am, I'm a Christian. And I'm not in heaven yet. Christ hasn't come back for the church yet. Is God still working on my heart? Is He still conforming me to the image of His Son? God is in the process of doing that. Sanctification and Him setting apart and conforming us, that's just an ongoing process. God still working on us, still working on us. There's truth in that old song, isn't there? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. A loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. And He's still working on all of us. But we got to ask the question, are we still letting Him? This sanctification needs to be something that continues to go on in our life. So those are some of the things that happen to the believer on the inside. What happens to him on the outside? We're looking at these people. We're being fruit inspectors. And as we look at this, and we look at if there's a change, one of the things that we see is a verse that we've looked at often. And I'll read it, but it's a verse that we've looked at probably four times in this study, because it's a big, important part of accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and that's Romans 10:3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteous... Excuse me, I'm sure the verse that I want is 13, 10:13. There's a one missing there. Hebrews 10:13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And another thing that the believer does is he confesses Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Another thing that happens in the life of the believer is a commitment to Jesus Christ. Turn over in your Bibles one page probably to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we have accepted Jesus Christ, our life will change. we'll be a living sacrifice for Jesus. Our life will look different on the outside. It will be changed on the outside and on the inside. People will notice that there is a difference. We will be serving the Lord. We will have something that we are doing for Him. And I ask you today, do you have a ministry for God? Are you doing something for Him? It could be as simple as being a prayer. I shouldn't say it's simple. Being a prayer warrior is hard work. But I'm just saying that's something that anybody can be a part of, can be doing. Writing cards, encouraging each other, stepping out of your way to doing something for Jesus Christ. Whether it be serving at the church or in a Christian ministry, there are lots of opportunities out there to serve the Lord, and the Christian will look different on the inside and on the outside. I think it's also important that we, as Christians, we know and we're ready and we share the message that once you are saved and you have believed in Jesus Christ, you are always saved. I believe in assured faith. And let's turn over in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 13. As we think about assurance of faith, this is one of those doctrines that I hold on firmly to in my life, is eternal security. I believe that once you are saved, you are always saved. I don't believe that the Christian should be walking around in his life worried and threatened by the fact that if he messes up in one area of his life, that he will lose his salvation. But at the same time, I know many Christian people who have questions, who have doubts, who wonder about that. And I've talked to many people who don't have that same thought. I've tried to share verses with some people and to let them know what they believe. But at the same time, sometimes I look at them and I say, they, as they walk around and as they talk about their commitment to Jesus Christ, I admire that they love Jesus Christ so much that they're willing to alter the way they dress, the way they talk, the things that they do, because they want to make sure that they keep that right relationship with Jesus Christ. But I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ, He died once for all, and that His work is finished on the cross, and His grace is greater than my sin. And I believe that in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11 it says, "And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." We need to let the true Christian know that once he has accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he is held, and that Jesus Christ's work on the cross finished and completed that salvation. And that's something that we can hang on to, and we can be assured of, and we can have hope in. And it's a wonderful thing. But at the same time, we need to think, have I truly believed in Jesus Christ? Is there evidence in my life that I am born again? Do I know beyond a shadow of doubt that I have trusted in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? It sometimes is an often thing where a Christian or someone that we think is a Christian who goes to church every Sunday comes and said, "I realized that I had never really truly accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I finally decided to give my life over to Him." We've heard stories of how pastors have said, I've been living a lie, and I needed to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And we need to make sure that we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we look like a Christian on the inside. We look like a Christian on the outside. And if that's the case, we can be assured that we have eternal life. And once a person has this assurance of their faith, their life is changing on the inside, their life is beginning to change on the outside, we need to make sure that we're discipling them. I think the first step that we ought to say to somebody, as soon as they've accepted Jesus Christ, you need to read and learn the book of John. I want to have available. Right now, if someone were to accept Jesus Christ, the first thing that I would want to say to them is, we have a young adults Bible study on Thursday nights. Come on out to that. We have Sunday school classes. Come on out to that. But I have a goal and I have a vision. And I have materials put together that I would love to have an active new believers class in school. Not in school, in church here. But I would love to see where someone accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we say, okay, we got a class. We're going to have two or three people in it. And we'll meet once a week and go through it. And we'll walk you through what it looks like as a new believer. Here is the way you get started in that. And we'd like for you to know and be involved in growing. We also need to make sure that they get praying. As soon as someone accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they need to be in the Word. They need to be praying. And you, if you're here and if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, these are things that you need to be doing on a daily basis. Reading the Bible and praying. Let me ask you this. Do you want someone that you know to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Absolutely, yes. Do you want their life to be changed? Absolutely, yes. Well, if someone is going to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, if they are going to be transformed into the image of His Son, they need an example. And the example of Jesus Christ that they are going to mimic, that they are going to follow, is you. If you lead them, if you plant them, the seed in their life, the second they get saved, they ought to say, now what does a Christian look like? What do they do? And they ought to look immediately to you. Say, well, that person, they read their Bible. I should be reading my Bible. That person bows their head and prays about their problems. They pray for their meals. They pray every morning. I should be praying. And the third thing that we need to actively be doing is get them into the body of Christ. Get them Christian friends and a Christian family. It's important that is what they are doing. The Christian body of believers is an amazing thing. We as Christians, we pray together. We laugh together. We cry together. We support each other. And it's important that we be doing that. And that we as Christians, we don't isolate each other. And we work hard to keep people from being isolated. It's a challenge. I can't do it alone, and you can't do it alone. We as a body of believers, we need to work together. I thank you so much for those of you who are doing that. You're reaching out, you're encouraging people, you're helping each other out. What a blessing. What a family of God we have here. Thank you for you guys for doing that. Let's keep on doing it. Let's keep on praying. Let's keep on reading. Let's keep on sharing the lost. I think it would be a real blessing if someone we knew came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I've been trying to bounce back and forth between the doors. There's a couple that sat right back here that I have no idea who they are or why they were here. What's that? Okay. I hope that some of you guys went out of your way to be friendly to them. There was a visitor here on, or someone new came out on Thursday morning, I heard. I wasn't here. There were some other visitors here this morning. I got a chance to talk to some of them, and when people come in, if we've never met them before, if we don't know them, we need to make sure that they know that this is a place where they're going to be prayed for, that this is a place where they're going to be encouraged, that we're going to be reaching out and making a difference. Go out of your way to be an example, a testimony for Christ. Okay. Yep, we do. We do. And that's one of the things we've been talking about for next year, changing those up a little bit. So you're absolutely right. Let's make sure we're going about the business of the kingdom. Let's pray. God, Lord, I'm excited about the way you change lives. Lord, I'm so thankful for what you're doing. And Lord, I pray that you might help us to be busy about the kingdom. Lord, I pray that you might help us to share our faith, to invite, to reach out, to do what we can to minister to others. Lord, we need a plan on how to react, to emphasize, and to lift up good. And Lord, to take a stand against evil. Help us have a plan of discipleship and what we can do as people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, we want to see change in lives, change for eternity. Bless us as we are about your business. In Jesus' name, amen.